Hello and welcome to another episode of Sacktown Talks. Today we're diving into an interesting issue dealing with our kind of economy and world today, kind of different businesses. And today we're going to be talking about the event planning business. And today we have Kate Whelan joining us. She's the president and senior event consultant, and she has started a coalition. Kate, how's it going? And can you tell us about a little bit about your business and kind of about the California Events Coalition you just started?
Yes, thank you so much for having me today. I'm the president of a local event planning company, Kate Whelan Events. We primarily execute wedding-related events, but I've also been the Sacramento Beer Week director. We've done some large festivals and other social and nonprofit events as well. We kind of started, there are three of us that are founders. We started out of frustration that there was lack of representation for the live events industry in general. I think there was a lot of discussion initially at the beginning of this year related to AB5 and the gig economy, something that highly affects our industry in particular. And there were so many conversations happening in social media, and we recognized each other. We knew each other in our industry, and we kept seeing our voices pop up. And in trying to find an organization that would lobby for us and represent us, we were kind of coming up empty-handed. So being small business entrepreneurs, we figured we'd just figure it out and put this coalition together, partially inspired by a national movement with the Live Events Coalition as well. I think one of the things that's really interesting about the events world that kind of touches on even your introduction is that many people, when they think live events, think event planners, parties, things like that, and they don't realize how many different roles are involved in these live events throughout the space. Right.
And that, I guess that's an interesting point. You know, I guess this kind of shows how crazy this year has been. You know, I guess in the beginning of 2020, you know, you guys were thinking of AB5 and issues, how to get around that or how to deal with that. And then all of a sudden we have this COVID crisis and, you know, there are no live events, haven't probably been any since March. There probably aren't going to be any time in the future. Can you tell us about what has been going on since March with, I guess, the event space?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you from a personal perspective, I would say 90% of my events have postponed to next year. I've had a large percentage of cancellations as well. And we're seeing that across the board. I think that, you know, live events encompasses weddings and social events, but it also encompasses areas like live sports and theater and concerts as well, anything that's related to gathering. And what is unique to us as a live event industry is that we will likely be the last to open because of that. Gathering is just something that we're really struggling with in this pandemic, and figuring out how to do it safely is definitely a high concern. So we're seeing a lot of postponements of these types of events throughout the state and the country and the world.
And your role in planning event is one thing, but I guess what about, you know, the vendors you're using? You know, you're talking about florists, caterers, music, lighting, kind of, you know, I guess, are you talking with your vendors and kind of what's their experience been as well?
Absolutely. We've all come together, all of those types of vendors, be it, you know, production people that deal with the rentals and the installation, or photographers or videographers who are documenting, the florists and the designers that are decorating the event, those that are providing entertainment, from bands to DJs and other, sound production people. All of us have been heavily affected. The majority of our business was all related and centered around live events. While some of us have been able to pivot to some extent to virtual events as best as we can, there isn't quite the same demand for that. I think people are really craving in-person human connection. And so I think we're all, you know, even with these Zoom meetings, maybe getting a little bit exhausted, right, with that. But it's our only source right now. Whereas people are thinking and hoping that they'll be able to have these in-person gatherings soon. So everybody's been affected, and we have all been trained in our industry to be as invisible as possible. We are all, behind the scenes for the most part. And so I think we've all felt really forgotten. We do not even have an NICS code for our industry. There are literally 3 billion jobs just in the state of California for social and wedding events, and 3 million jobs. Like, wow. And, you know, quite 300 million or billion in,
There's a lot. There's a lot of jobs.
There's a lot of revenue. There's a lot of jobs that we feel are being forgotten and not considered when you take these SBA surveys or these local city economic surveys. There's not really a category that fits a lot of us. We have hospitality and entertainment and other type of categories that we could maybe fit in, but the policies and procedures that are coming out and the consideration for those industries don't really fit for those of us in live events. So we feel forgotten and we want to be a part of the plan and the solution moving forward.
Yeah, that's totally interesting that you say you feel forgotten, because, you know, I am guilty of that. I didn't even ponder this until kind of you reached out. And you're totally right. This is kind of a forgotten segment of the economy. And kind of, you know, you keep seeing these big, you know, events that are usually planned. You know, we have political events, you know, a lot of golf tournaments. We have a lot of, you know, conventions that are being canceled, all pushed to next year. So, you know, that's a really good point is, you know, I guess the details and the different vendors that go into this, you know, it's a large part of the economy that's not being taken care of. I guess, you know, we have PPP loans, we have unemployment. I guess, are those helping to bridge the gap at all? Or is there something out there that is helping you guys, I guess, stay afloat right now?
I think the PPP and the EIDL loans through the SBA have been helpful. The structure of those seem to be in place for a business that's going to be able to reopen in some capacity sooner than later. Most of the funding for the PPP is for 8 weeks. They did recently extend, you know, the coverage for, or the, you know, recovery for 24 weeks, but you know, it's just not going to be enough for us. We are going to be out of work for much longer than that, it looks like. So I think 8 weeks of income just doesn't cover us. And EIDL loans, while they're wonderful, if we're not working, it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to pay back money with a loan. You know, it's just really hard for these businesses to recover.
No, totally. I guess another thing you brought up earlier, I guess, you know, something that we were talking about earlier in the year, AB5 and different, you know, businesses that I guess weren't thought of in the beginning when this bill was implemented. Can you kind of, I guess, touch upon AB5 and I guess how you see it affecting your business?
Well, it directly affects my business. On a day-to-day basis, I do have administrative staff in our office that we typically work with to execute events. But on the day of the event itself, I typically hire contracted professionals to work the event with me who are well-trained and working as day of staff. In fact, they are, under the letter of the law through the federal guidelines for classification, true contractors. We have a contract with them. They use their own equipment. They don't need to be trained. And they work for multiple different planning businesses throughout the year to meet their income needs. When AB5 hit, we lost a lot of those relationships. A lot of them were not interested in becoming employees. They really wanted to maintain their small business and continue operating as a, you know, a sole prop. And so it became really difficult for us to staff those events because we were no longer able to find people that were experienced that we didn't have to train, right, to work these events on such a short time frame. So I see that happening across the board. That happens with event planners like myself, event designers, florists, caterers, specifically working for, you know, event staff for their event. Bands, the gig economy for bands was highly affected. We work with a lot of bands for events and they have a different team every weekend because it really depends on who's available. So we're seeing that struggle across the board. And it's not just a matter of these people not being fairly represented. These businesses really want to be a business and not an employee. And we don't have a lobbyist that fights for the live event sector in California. And so I feel like that's maybe why we were not considered in that decision.
Yeah, it's interesting. Earlier, you know, last month we talked to a member of a writing association and, you know, they worked with Assemblywoman Gonzalez on getting a carve out for writers. I guess, have you approached, your group approached Ms. Gonzalez about seeing a carve out for the live event space? I know some bands have sought this, but I guess the event planning group as a whole? Have you guys sought a carve out for AB5?
So I think at this point we have been completely redirected to COVID. It's definitely something that's on our, you know, radar. It's something that we want to work on soon, but I think currently we're so inundated with COVID-19 issues that we've diverted our energies that direction.
You know, you were earlier talking about, I guess, how most people are just completely canceling events this year and are rebooking 2021. I guess, you know, we're going to see, I guess, a lot of demand in 2021, but not a lot of supply. You know, are there already, I guess, you know, date problems? Are there available dates in 2021? You know, is it that easy, I guess, to make up, you know, lost business this year and just carry it forward?
I think the struggle isn't necessarily in finding the dates. We're going to make it work ultimately. I think people have ended up moving some of their events to the weekdays where they wouldn't normally have events. The struggle is that we're all taking income that was normally meant for a 12-month period and stretching it out to 18 to 24 months. And that's really going to be a struggle for our industry. That's the hugest issue. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I guess events you had planned for this year, you know, a lot of these people start planning these things a year or years ahead. You know, how has it been working, I guess, with these cancellations? Are you having to refund money? And I guess, how is that process working out?
Yes, we've had to refund money, especially in the cases where we haven't provided services yet. I think that our industry, or at least my role in our industry, is a little bit different than sometimes others in that a lot of the services that were being provided we're doing in advance rather than just on the day of, whereas a photographer, you know, may have held a date, but they're not actually executing the services until the wedding comes along. So I think we've done a lot of the services, unfortunately, for these events that are now canceling. And so we're not able to refund the entire amounts, and that's frustrating for couples. And we're trying to be as empathetic as possible to them. Where we haven't provided services, we absolutely do refund those services. And it does create a huge economic hardship for those in our industry because of that.
I guess another thing to touch on is, you know, is there been any guidance from the state or local health officials in, I guess, carrying events on now or perhaps in the near future? You know, I know different industries are getting statewide guidance. Has, I guess, the event sector got any guidance from the state?
I think that's probably the most frustrating part of the experience that we've had thus far, in that there has been some guidance, but I think it's probably geared more towards religious events than anything. I think wedding ceremonies can fall under that. So currently the statewide guidance that we have thus far is a ceremony that for up to 100 people outdoors, with no socializing before or after and no food service. So I don't know the last time that you went to a wedding that was just a ceremony and you immediately left. But it's not really feasible. There are some counties throughout the state of California that are allowing gatherings up to 12 people. So we're seeing a lot of elopements where some of our clients have opted to get married on their original date with just their immediate family and then postpone the big celebration to later next year. But the problem is that these guidelines are literally county by county. And so what we're seeing happen is people who maybe reside in or planning on having an event in a certain county are now moving their event to another county that accommodates their wishes, or maybe isn't following the rules as stringently. One of the things that we're seeing quite heavily right now, because there is a lack of guidelines for events in particular, is that people are taking the little bits of information that they're finding on the county websites and running with it. So we're seeing a lot of like unsanctioned events or illegal events. This is a problem because, as you may have noted, our governor has even stated the reason that our numbers are spiking are from private events and social events that are happening against the rules. And without guidance, people will continue to do that. We did see last week some task forces put together that allowed some, I think when we rolled back from the stage or the part of stage three that we're in, maybe three and a half back to three. 19 counties kind of rolled back and stopped allowing in building dining. An additional six more counties were added on Monday due to spiking numbers. And then over the weekend, the state created those licensing task forces for ABC. They did, I think, nearly 6,000 visits over the holiday weekend, and The Department of Industrial Relations and Division of Occupational Safety and Health did over like 441 contacts via in-person visits, phone, and email over the weekend as well. So I think that we're trying to educate our constituency to understand that these illegal events are going to keep us oscillating between stage three and stage three and a half if we don't nip it in the bud. And they're now risking losing their ABC license. They're now risking losing their potential business license. I know LA County is discussing fining for illegal events. So we want to make sure that people are really following these guidelines, because ultimately we want to be taken seriously as an industry. We want to have a seat at the table to discuss potential guidelines that could be applied statewide. And, you know, if we're able, we want to be taken seriously so that we can have these guidelines and use them moving forward and actually open up safely.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, today the governor touched upon this in his remarks today at noon about, you know, he estimates that, you know, 60% of the economy never shut down. Mm-hmm. And that's because people just aren't following the orders. People aren't listening. And when you have such a large group not following, you know, that's why we're seeing these infections spread. I guess, do you guys see any hope or light at the end of the tunnel that there might be some events in 2020?
I think that if we have a vaccine and maybe some medication that will help ensure the safety of our population, yes. I think also we could be putting in some guidelines that are similar to what we're doing for restaurants for some kind of dining at live events, so long as we're following similar guidelines and helping stop the spread. The type of live events that I'm seeing that are illegal are, I see them on my social media feed from industry colleagues where people are having outdoor dancing with no masks with large groups. So if we could nip those things in the bud and operate safely, I think we could have businesses open with these guidelines in place and still slow the spread.
You know, something you touched on earlier, I guess, is digital events. You know, I guess every industry is trying to look for a way to survive this day and age. I guess, have you had any experience in doing digital events? And I guess kind of what is the demand for people to kind of switch from, you know, an in-person event to a digital event?
We have had some interest in a digital event. Most often it's for clients who are having an elopement or a smaller wedding and wanting to broadcast that to the family that can't make it. Less often it's just a primarily digital event. We had some partners that provided a really cool, IDTV is one of them, a really cool like wedding digital experience where it was completely done online, and not a lot of our clients have been interested in that. We did have experience with Big Day of Giving in one of our nonprofit organizations that we work with annually. One of our philanthropic relationships that we have with the B Street Theater, and they had, I think, three times the amount of fundraising that they normally have for Big Day of Giving with their virtual event. So it really just depends on, I think, the level of intimacy that you're wanting to have with the attendees. Weddings are a little bit harder to translate, whereas a corporate event is maybe a little bit easier for people to digest.
Really, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, that's something I guess I've been seeing recently is fundraisers, virtual fundraisers, or even, you know, political fundraisers, they're reaping in, you know, larger numbers than ever. I guess, why do you attribute that these virtual events are able to, I guess, generate more revenue?
I think we're kind of held captive in a lot of ways right now. So I don't know about you, but in my daily life, I was constantly being distracted by so many things, even moving throughout my day and not being at home. And right now, we really just have what we have in front of us at our home. So I think it's a little bit easier for people to have their attention captured and have them be more involved in a virtual setting because of that.
You know, earlier you touched upon, I guess, how, you know, counties are having, there's this patchwork plan of guidance for events. You know, you said that maybe a statewide guidance would be helpful. I guess, is there anything else that the state or the legislature you feel could do to, I guess, help your space?
Well, we do have the Restart Act. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about the HEROES Act, which we also support, but due to the fact that we really need funding for these businesses since we're not going to be able to operate soon, we are pushing the Restart Act, which is a Congress bill, that really, the initial part of it expanded the PPP for a shorter period of time than the interim final rule actually expanded it. So we feel that's been taken care of. But the latter part of the Restart Act really addresses another type of loan that finances the equivalent of 6 months worth of fixed operating costs. And I think, you know, talking about 8 weeks previously, that's getting a restaurant through until that they can do some kind of modified operations. But right. We have no modified operations right now, and we probably won't for quite some time. So this Restart Act really allows us to kind of expand the funding for a forgivable loan for small businesses that they could really utilize on a short-term basis.
And I guess, you know, what I guess other types of businesses like yourself, you know, aren't able to operate right now. Is there like a coalition behind this Restart Act?
Yes, absolutely. The California Events Coalition is our local chapter that we founded. Mm-hmm. But there is also a national live events coalition that has brought the Restart Act to us and has joined all of our partners in other states as well. So the California Events Coalition was founded really to create some kind of representation for our industry related to COVID-19, but also AB5 eventually. You know, we really are here to advocate, to support our industry, but we also want to educate. I think talking earlier about these different county rules and regulations, it's very difficult for these vendors and those members of the live events industry to find what their local county health ordinance is. Every website is different. The information's in a different location. So we're here to educate what those current guidelines are. And we want to create a space that links to the direct updates to every local county health ordinance area and have monitors that are constantly following those pages to look for updates so that you can get the most current information on our website as well. So we want to be able to provide those resources to people. We do have some letters that people can send if they come to our website to get in front of their representatives. And there's other services that we'll be providing moving forward as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, thing you bring up is, you know, every county has a different level of funding, has a different website. So it is extremely difficult to get that information. That's a great service that you guys are providing for your members to get that info out.
Thank you.
I guess, you know, as we close here, I guess, is there anything else that you'd like to go over or you think we're missing to get out to future members or our listeners out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, it'd be really easy to follow along with what we're doing at the California Events Coalition by joining on our website at californiaeventscoalition.com. We do have some really easy pre-written letters that allow you to enter your story as well and share with your representatives very easily. And then we also have a new campaign that is national that's really interesting. I think it brings to light all the different roles that are involved in live events, from DJs to planners to florists, and it's called the Wish I Was There campaign. It is a national campaign, so you'll start seeing pop up everywhere. You can see it on our Instagram and our Facebook page as well. We're having people post a black and white image of them last summer or previous event working in their field so you can see what their job is and what they're doing. Tell a little bit about their story in the caption and then use the tag Wish I Was There so that people could really see the gravity of our industry and what it really includes and who it's affecting and why.
Oh, that's great. I guess for our listeners, can you give out your, I guess, your Instagram and your Facebook and your social media handles?
Yeah, absolutely. So our Facebook is California Events Coalition as the tag. Our Instagram is also California Events Coalition. And our Twitter is CA Event Coal, COAL.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kate. Very interesting stuff, and wish you the best, and hopefully we can get back to live events soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks, no worries.
Some are called dreamers.